Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the last effing episode of the season. This is living the dream, right? We talk to people about what they've done in the past and what they're doing now because, let's say, they left those past lives to do something better. Well, today in the studio, I actually feel kind of nervous because it's my last show. I don't know why.
Wow.
But today in the studio, I have a very special guest. I hit him up a couple weeks ago because I wanted him to be my season finale. In studio, I have Brady Moore with me.
Well, I appreciate that you call me a special guest. I'm a little bit curious on why, but I will take it because I'll take any kind of compliment I can get, so thank you for that.
I got to be a little honest. I do call everybody a special guest.
I was going to ask. I was going to say, I was like, I think I've tuned in before, and I remember something similar, but you know what?
That's
right. For the sake of it, I love it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, man. Yeah, of course. I'm really happy that your now wife introduced us to each other.
Man, yes. I'm happy about that as well.
Yeah, because I've known her for a little while, got introduced to you.
Yes.
And this is awesome. Dude, your eyes are so blue.
You know, this is interesting.
I'm sorry. We're staring at each other from across the table, and his blue eyes are just piercing into my soul.
Well, you know, can I tell you, this has been something that I've been blessed with, and I'm very happy about it. My wife has told me that this is the only reason that we're together. Whether that's true or false, we'll never know. But I never know what to say. Thank you sounds like I know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, cut it out shows like, do you look in the mirror? I don't know.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I just like looking at you too.
It's good. They're beautiful.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah. It's like a glacier.
Wow. I've never heard that.
I went to Alaska last year, and I feel like I'm looking at the glacier walls.
Well, I've never been there, but I hope that they're as gorgeous as I'd imagine them.
Yep. All right, Brady. So on this show, we do, it's called Living the Dream because it focuses on what people have done in the past for work and what they're doing now because maybe they love to do it. So they're living their dream.
Awesome.
So basically, it's like going from the bottom of your resume to the top.
Okay.
And we like to hear about like your first job, your worst job, and then what you're doing now, you know?
For sure.
And we'll stray. We'll stray in the middle.
Whatever.
But let's get to it.
Okay.
What was your first job, Brady?
My first job was when I was 15. I worked at Tilly's.
Tilly's, okay.
On Ventura Boulevard.
Okay.
And it's
not there anymore.
It's not there anymore. It's like, now an Urban Outfitters.
That's what it is, yeah.
Which I'm not sure if you are able to, but I am not able to shop at
Urban Outfitters. No. They're ridiculous. My girlfriend's always like, can you buy me? No.
Oh, yeah, no. $48 t-shirt.
You want to go to Nordstrom Rack? We'll do that.
Because it's still balling out with a good price
That's
tag.
That's right.
But yeah, I started at Tilly's, and it was awesome. I was a, you know, snowboard skate rack, you know, and I just loved it because they give you a bunch of free stuff and you wear it. And but what I didn't love over time was just customers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of gnarly. I mean, retail's retail. Anyone who works retail knows. It was pretty gnarly. But dude, I look back at it now and I was like, that was a pretty cool job for 15 years old. I mean, dude, it was awesome. Everyone else was 18, 19 plus, so I enjoyed it. That was a good start. But I quickly left that because
What's quickly, like a couple months?
I think I was like between 6 and 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly. I mean, the manager was obviously bummed because he did like the whole group interview, and I was like, I plan on being here till I graduate. And
right,
I was, like,
yeah,
you know,
we all said that.
Later.
I think I said that to my manager at Hollister.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and you had 4-hour shifts at Hollister, which is pretty gnarly, dude. But yeah, I mean, I was there for a while, and then I chased baseball, and so the Cincinnati Reds contacted me and said they wanted me to be on a scout team for them. And
no way.
Yeah, that was like that.
Wait, okay, so you went to college.
Yes.
And then that's where you got scouted from by the Cincinnati Reds?
Technically, it was actually in high school. It was when I was 15 years old.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was during that time. The Reds contacted me and said they wanted to see me every Saturday and Sunday playing games, like controlled games in which scouts could come and be a part of it. And
yeah.
That was like my work schedule. I was in high school, so I could work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they were like, hey, I want to see you Saturday and Sunday, and I was like, okay, I quit.
Yeah.
And then I just quit, and I just walked away.
Yeah,
so I started doing that.
The same thing.
Yeah, so I started doing that, and that was the end of my first job.
Yeah, okay. And then you played baseball. You've played baseball most of your life, right?
Yeah.
Up till more recently.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm 27 now. I officially threw my last pitch at 24.
Oh, wow.
And that was
the
end of that. Yeah. So it's only been 3 years that I've actually not been playing baseball. It's been my entire life, minus the last 3 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you miss it?
Oh, dude, it's an inner battle. Every day, you know, I think the hardest thing for me is it was my personality. It was my identity.
Mm-hmm.
That was every day it was like, fill in the blank, Brady Moore was the baseball player. And then suddenly I wasn't a baseball player, and it was like, well, who's Brady Moore?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I miss it every single day, but...
why exactly did you stop? Did you like hurt yourself?
Yeah. My right bicep basically tore in half.
Oh.
My pitching arm.
Yeah.
And then it just never really came back. And surgeries were 2 year or 18 month recoveries. And it just turned into, by that point, I'll be quote unquote old in the industry. And
right.
It was over. But
and
I
scouts
also,
hear you have had an injury like that. They're like,
yeah, it's like, you're just tainted. It's like you're broken at that point. And so, but I mean, I suffered from my bicep all my career, and then that's when it finally ripped, I was like, well, I think this is it. But it was always a burden.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was my baseball career.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just to even be say, you just to be able to say that you were scouted by a professional team to do stuff with them, that's pretty crazy. That's super
it was,
cool.
I appreciate that. And, you know, it was a lot of people would be like, oh, it must be gnarly to get so close and then have it yanked away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was scouted by the Cincinnati Reds and then the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then I was training out of USC
mm-hmm.
With one of the best pitching coaches in the world. And I was throwing really hard. I was training with some of the best pitchers in the world. And I was like, here we go. I'm going to get signed. And then, that injury happened. And that was the end of that. But, you know, and then I went off to college and tried to make my career happen again. I tried to recover and it just wasn't in the cards for me, but I genuinely am thankful for the ride that I got.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Do you remember the fastest pitch you ever threw?
It was somewhere in the mid to upper 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
fastest
impressive.
Clocked. Probably like, I don't know, like 96, something like that. Yeah.
I played baseball in high school, and it wasn't my favorite. Right? Football was my favorite.
Fair enough.
But then I wanted to like, yeah, I could pitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me try it. And I went on the mound, and I threw my first ball at one of my friends, Jake.
Yeah.
And he just, like, crushed it. And I was like, okay. And I was like,
well, there's a reality
check. Off the mound. I'll go back to center field.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, dude, I'm envious that you got to play football, though, to be honest. Because that was never an option for me. I was never
they wouldn't let you,
You had to pick. So I was always – I'm envious of you. What position did you actually play?
Wide receiver.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
why I was center field.
Yeah, because you were fast.
Yeah, and I could catch.
Yeah.
I was really good at it. I hit one home run in my high school career.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was cool. That's super high. It was like above the head and outside. Like lunged for it and just like luckily like just caught the effing thing, you know?
And
it just
there it was.
Flew over the fence. And my buddy Jake, who crushed the ball that I pitched to him, was pissed because he never hit a home run all season.
Oh, so.
I just rubbed it in his face.
Yeah, of course you did. Because that's the whole point. Those are called, we call that in the baseball community, a tomahawk.
Oh, okay.
Because it's just eye level and it's probably your strongest swing because it's just like, it's like hacking wood.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
dude,
awesome.
I just remember like.
Yeah, just swinging as hard as you could.
Yeah, and then it was gone. I was like, yeah, I was rounding the bases, like waving my arms around.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
Stomped on home plate 2 feet.
Oh, yeah. Point up. And it's just like, all right, cool. I see it in the big leagues.
Yeah.
Were you, so that was the end of your high school career?
Yeah, that was like junior year.
That's
I think.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When you're actually coming into your own strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was fun. I loved it.
That's awesome.
It was nice just because we would just like sit on the bench most of the time and just like mess around.
Of course, which is the whole point of baseball. There's a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
That's the best part, or one of them.
All right. See, we veered off topic.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. Let's rein it back.
Yeah. So then after that, what did you – I feel like I remember your – now wife mm-hmm. told me that you worked at a snowboard shop.
Yeah, so right when my career ended, I was sitting there thinking like, well, what else do I love? And there was only one other thing that I loved, and it was snowboarding.
Mm-hmm.
So college wasn't over yet, but the semester had ended. I had one more year of college, and baseball was officially over, like the kibosh, it was done. And it was like, wow, I need to now make money, because the school would always, you know, scholarships and stuff like that. I was like, I'd never really needed any, like, spending cash for food, because it was always the cafeteria or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I got to get a job. So when my career was over, I literally just looked up snowboarding shops. And there's really nothing in L.A. except for one, which was Burton on Melrose.
That's right. It's right across the street from, like, a comedy place.
Yeah, I don't remember what that comedy place is, though. But, yes, it's literally straight across the
street. Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where I remember being like, I don't know what to do. That's the only thing I love. And I can't just get a desk job while I'm working towards my degree, like, who's going to hire me? So I walked in with my resume, and I didn't have it. I mean, what resume? I just walked in. It was like I had my name. Yeah. Like, oh, you worked at Tilly's for right. 6 months. That's great. You know, it was nothing.
Why'd you leave? Oh, I hated retail.
Yeah, retail is terrible. So I literally didn't have anything to go with, and handed my resume to the manager, who was one of my, you know, good friends this day. And legitimately, he was like, actually, we just had someone quit, and we haven't even put it up online yet, but we'll just give it to you.
Oh.
And it was just like, what?
Yeah.
So I worked there for a year, and then I worked my way up to management, and then I worked my way into doing marketing for them. And then once snowboarding kind of like, it was like, okay, I got this. They were like, hey, well, Channel Islands, the surfboard company's over there. If you learn how to surf, you can go and be a part manager over there. And I was like, okay. So I started surfing, and that took up the better majority of 2 years, which was the only remedy.
Yeah.
To baseball ending. If I would have had any other job, I don't think I would have like made it out mentally, because mm-hmm. it was tough for me. But yeah, that made it pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, man.
100%.
Were you getting discounts on snowboards and equipment?
Man, it was 50% off hard goods, so boards, boot, binding.
Okay.
It was 70% off hoodies and t-shirts, which is outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, I was walking away with sweatshirts that were $60 for, you know, $8-$9. It
yeah.
was a joke. It was a joke.
Oh, that's good. And, too bad you can't work there once a week.
I know, dude, just for that. Yeah. They're actually moved. They just moved to Santa Monica.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't even know if I can make that trek either way. But yeah, it was honestly some of the best times I ever had. Some of my closest friends came from there, and yeah, dude, it was epic. It was epic.
That's
was
cool,
epic.
Man.
Yeah.
Did you spend a lot of time snowboarding?
There was, unfortunately, I was like always working towards becoming management, because of course you like wanted to get the celebrities in there and then be like, where's the manager? You
know, they're at Burton.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. A lot of celebrities came to there for the luggage, or, you know, snowboarding in general.
Yeah.
So you always want to be the manager. So it was like, you know, who do I talk to about a discount? And it's me.
Yeah.
I'll help you out. But then of course, once you become management, snowboarding becomes kind of like takes a backseat, which was kind of a bummer. But, 1 year I got like 38 days in, 35 days in, because they gave you a free pass to go to Mammoth.
Should have mentioned that at the beginning.
Yeah, dude. That was like the coolest part ever. And
that Mammoth pass is ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It includes Big Bear, Mountain High. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything was, it was insane.
I think just the day pass at Mammoth now is like $160.
Oh yeah, easily. That's I think it might actually be $169. Yeah, so with tax year, oh my I'm glad you did it, because I was like, hey, compose yourself. So yeah, it's like $200 for a day. And
yeah.
So, and then you had a bunch of, you know, snowboard rats that thought the same thing. And mm-hmm. they were like, hey, do you want to go make a day trip? And it was like, yes. Didn't matter if it was 5 hours each way.
Yeah.
You know, so that was my best year. Probably yeah. like 35, 38 days. It was incredible.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I grew up snowboarding.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's perfect.
Yeah, so I just wanted to hear your take on it before I told you mine.
Yeah, of course.
I love it. I love it. I'm so sad this last season I only went once.
Yeah.
I only went once. But I did go to Mammoth.
Oh, so if you went once to Mammoth, that's at least something to write home about.
Yeah, yeah. And the first half of the day, right, from like what time they open at like 8.
Yeah,
so like 8 to 12.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like,
oh,
bluebird, no wind.
Awesome.
And then like 12:30, oh, the clouds rolled in, the wind came in, it started snowing.
Oh my god.
And my buddy and I were just like shivering on the not on the gondola, but on the lift.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
just like, we gotta get to Eagle Lodge because I'm freezing, man. It's effing freezing.
It does turn. It literally turns. Like, it can turn in an instant, and so I get that for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's at least you made it to Mammoth though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go to Bear for one day and it's like mm-hmm. you get a taste, but it's just not quite.
And Bear's so packed all the time, too.
Yeah, it's packed, and it's just, you know, yeah.
Oh. All right, cool, man.
Yeah,
and then, let's see, what are you...
And then I did shift. I did go to ValSurf in the Valley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
For those who don't know, ValSurf is another, like, skate and snowboard shop.
And surf brand. Yeah, so that was, like, I got hired in there as a surf guy. Just because it was the middle of the summer, and they were just like...
Wait, sorry, why'd you leave Burton?
I left Burton because, if we're going to be completely honest, the manager who hired me, who was awesome, he left.
Uh-huh.
Then the assistant manager left.
Oh, okay.
And then the person, we're just going to leave it at that, the person mm-hmm. who came in
mm-hmm.
Had never snowboarded before. And this person basically tried to run this place like a retail shop.
Oh.
And
without knowing anything about
this
stuff.
Anybody who knows the culture knows that nobody wants to wear collared shirts, and no one wants to tuck in their shirt, and nobody wants to speak to these clients like they're, you know, coming in here shopping for, you know, paper binders. They're coming here for snowboarding stuff, and they want to be talked to as accordingly. And so the culture changed, and in result, the clientele that would come in were like, who are you guys? Who is this? I don't like this. And so in result, out of 24 employees, we had 17 leave in 2.5 months. And I was one of them.
Okay.
So I relocated to ValSurf, which is in the Valley, and it's a bunch of surf and snowboard and skate bums who know what they're talking about and love the culture. And so that was my only place that I could migrate and still.
Most important thing, was the discount as good?
No.
No.
No, but you know what? The only thing that is cool, the difference was, is at Burton, you can only get Burton.
Oh, right.
And then at ValSurf,
you
liked
anything.
You liked a new brand, and it was like, but I understand that because you're not going to get the same discount because it's not their product. So they're selling it at, you know, wholesale price. Mm-hmm. They give you a discount. It's not like it's like something ridiculous, but they give you a discount, but it's not the same because they have to make their profit. But the owner there, or the owner / manager, is one of the coolest guys in the world, Brandon. He's like the nicest guy in the world. And so anytime I'd say, hey, I want to get a, you know, whatever, LibTech or whatever, he was like, oh, let me call the dealer and let me see what I can do for you. So in its own way, it had its perks that was equivalent, just different.
Yeah.
Totally.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
So then you did all that. Now you're doing real estate.
I'm doing real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What got you into that?
I got my degree in communication and marketing. Mm-hmm. I had a background in marketing. And so the first thing I did was I went out and started looking for jobs, and everyone told me, you'll make $30,000 for the next 3 years with a 2%, you know, increase, and don't come and talk to us before those 3 years pass. And I thought, well, where's the motivation to work harder? Where's the motivation to like really kill it? There wasn't. And that bugged me. And so the more I went around, I went to marketing, and showing that I had marketing experience for one of the big, well, you know, a huge company, the biggest snowboard company, but a big company that I did marketing for them, they were like, yeah, you're gonna be at the bottom level, which I wasn't expecting to walk in and become a marketing manager.
Right.
But I wasn't coming in with no experience. So I knew what I was doing. I had social media experience. And they were like, oh yeah, we don't care.
Oh.
$25,000. And it was like, $25,000?
Yeah.
Who lives off $25,000?
I made more at Burton.
Yeah, I literally made more at Burton. And so I had a moment where I was like, no, I can't do this. And so it was, you know, it was that over and over and over again. And then my wife introduced me to her best friend, who's one of my best friends now, Uncles, who's in real estate. Mm-hmm. And right away, his character, his charisma, it was like we were identical. Our energies were just through the roof, and I was like, okay, cool. I'm not dealing with somebody who's like, yeah, you know, just relax and stay quiet. He was like, oh my God, I'm so excited about what I do. Da, da, da. And in result, I was like, okay, whatever this guy does, I'm interested. And he was like, oh, I do real estate. And I said, oh, you know, that's interesting, but you know, I don't know anything about it. He's like, I didn't either, but now I'm killing it. And he's like, you can make 6 figures your first year, depending on how hard you work. And immediately I was like,
done.
I'm interested. And so I've been doing it for about 6 months now.
That's great, man. Yeah. Do you enjoy it? It's kind of a hustle, right? Like, dude, you gotta be like running around, putting up signs, doing open houses.
Yeah.
I mean, I stalked you on Instagram a little bit. So
totally, I'm glad.
I see that you do those like daily things where you're like on your Instagram story, you're like, hey, everybody, I'm here, come check it out.
Tip of the day.
So you're grinding, yeah?
I'm grinding, man, because I believe that I started doing research on the marketing techniques and schemes, if you will, of other agents. And a lot of the people in real estate who are successful are older, which nothing against them. They're making a killing, but they're not tapping into the potential that is social media. They just do door knocking, cold calling, mailing lists, whatever. And I started to think like, man, this is a niche I could fill because this is my area of expertise and my age group.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to start this. And I started this thing called Tip of the Day, where I just I had a plan for every day, but I didn't want to get to the point where it was just like, you're scrolling through and it's like, oh my God, here's Brady again. I'm not ready to buy a house yet, dude. And just like,
unfollow.
I was like, all right, I got to take it back. So I think it's like 3-4 times a week. And it's just me teaching, giving out information about the market, about how you can be successful in buying a property. And not even trying to coach them to like, hey, you know, these other agents are terrible. You got to come to me. It was never that. It was just like, make sure you pick the right agent. Here's how you pick the right agent. Do they fit your personality? And if that's me, I mean, I'm stoked. If it's not, I just wanted to give value. And I got that from, I don't know if you know who this is. I'm sure you do, but Gary Vaynerchuk.
Mm-mm.
He's this huge like entrepreneur now, and he's like all about the give over the take. 51 to 49 at least of giving more than you, you know, expect to receive.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking, like, if I provide value to people, they're going to respect me and value me because I'm not looking for anything in return. I mean, people can watch those videos and learn markets and how to buy a property without me. And in result, I was like, I like that. I like the idea that they could be self-sufficient. And he's so successful, and all he says is I focus on giving. And I was like, okay, so that's what I'm going to do. So that's what I've been doing.
Did you read his book? Is that...
That was... I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not a big reader. To me.
Oh, it's like, I was gonna say if you read his book, I don't know him because I don't read.
No, well, thank you because I didn't. I was figuring out how to like say that intelligently. I'm not a big reader, but I don't read. That's just who I am. But I discovered him on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
It was like a 60-second clip on the Explore page, and I was just like, oh my god, this guy's so is like intoxicating. And then I followed him. I went to his page, and then I was like, this guy has a really good, healthy way of looking at life.
Yeah.
And now he has these things called Ask Gary V.
Yeah.
And it's just like vlogs, and I just like, oh my God, I consume them.
That's cool, man.
Like, I wake up, and I'll watch as many as I can. Because it's just, there's not many positive people out there that allow you to feed off of them without being like, and now it's $900 for the past 60 minutes. You know what I mean? He's just like giving out love, positivity, and value for free. And once I saw how I reacted, I was like, if I could make somebody react the same way to me that I reacted to him, maybe I'll be a fraction of as successful. So we'll see.
Well, I hope you're successful, buddy.
Thank you, dude. Wow, that was good. I could even hear that through the headphones. That was clutch. That was good.
Well, hopefully real estate becomes more and more more successful for you.
That would be a goal.
We don't have that much time.
Okay.
Tell me a little
to
bit.
Talk about more about you, but next time.
No, maybe next time.
Maybe next
Who
time.
Knows?
Yeah.
But this is my last show. Who knows?
Oh, man.
But tell me a little bit. You just got married, man. That's awesome.
I just got married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd you go on your honeymoon?
We went to Bora Bora.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
thank God for real estate on that one. That's where real estate's a plus.
I saw that you stayed in one of those huts over the water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. But
I was
if
super
I can make
jealous.
A little small suggestion, you have to check the water depths.
The
place you buy or you know rent, because you want to get it where you can jump off the balcony into the water. But
yes.
A lot of them are about 3 feet deep.
Oh yeah, you don't want to break
your
neck
on
your honeymoon.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. So I found a spot that was like 15 feet deep, and then that's when you really get to utilize the overwater bungalows.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, cool. I'll take that
word
note with me
on that one. You know what I mean?
So Brady, the last thing I like to do with my guests, and this is the last time I'll ever do it.
Oh,
look
at
Monica in the booth. She's so sad to see me go. All right, so the last thing I like to do, I like to do like a speed round. Basically, I just ask you random questions, and you answer them.
In one word, or
no.
Just quick.
Yeah, just quick.
Just quick.
Don't think, just
Let's
answer. So I'm going to put a minute on, and then we're going to start.
Put a minute on. Let's
All
do
right,
it.
Ready?
Yep.
And start. Is double dipping at a party acceptable?
Totally.
You're disgusting. How do you feel about the word moist?
It's disgusting, and it bothers my spirit.
Does it really? Yeah. Moist.
Oh, God, it's like making me violent just thinking about it.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars. What,
okay.
Are you kidding?
Do your best Chewbacca impression. That's good.
Spot on,
that's
dude.
Good.
I can actually hear it back.
Monica and I have heard absolutely terrible ones all season long. It's crazy.
It just shows that I practice.
All right, say a word in Spanish.
Un poquito.
Okay.
That was manic. That was two.
Yeah. Pineapple and pizza, okay?
Oh, you know, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Do you Instagram your food?
No, because I'm not a tourist
good,
everywhere I go.
Good, okay.
Yeah, no, I won't do it.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
What was it?
I remember when I was a kid, there was a Tootsie Roll, and it was Rogue on, like, near the register, and I was just like, no, that's mine.
When people start standing for a standing ovation. Oh, okay. Wait, I'm going to finish this.
Okay,
up.
I'm ready.
When people start standing for a standing ovation, are you the first one or the last
the
one?
The first one.
Oh, come on.
The first one. The first one. And,
I
look back around like, are you guys serious? You guys are going to let me do this? Yeah, totally. I make people feel guilty for it. Totally.
Oh, man. Well, it was great having you,
Brady. It was awesome to be here, man. Thank you so much.
I'm glad I've known your now wife for a little while, so it's nice to have been able to meet you
officially.
Yeah, I
feel like I've actually, caught up.
No.
So now I feel like we're at the same level as me and my wife.
Yeah,
me
man.
Me and you.
Let's go snowboarding.
Let's do it. Whenever. Right. You tell me when, and let's do it. I think it's over for this year, but next year is definitely up for grabs.
All right, man.
Let's do it, buddy.
Well, everybody, that's it. My name is Christian Ramirez. Hopefully you will remember me. I was the sweet, sweet voice you heard on kpcradio.com. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you learned something. You know, if you're stuck out there doing something that you hate, you got a chance to listen to this show and really hear people who are out there doing and trying to make a better life for themselves, doing what they love. And hopefully you learned a lesson, because I learned one too. And I kind of do the same thing now too. But anyways, thank you for tuning in. It's been a great ride here at Pierce because I got accepted to CSUN.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's where I graduated from.
And believe it or not, right now, I'm going to leave the studio, go grab my bags because I'm flying out to Iceland.
Well, I guess all of our lives just look terrible in comparison. I'll go back to work.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram and YouTube at ChrisRam9. I will be posting a bunch of vlogs and fun videos of my trip to Iceland.
Awesome.
So love you all out there, for my family and friends who all listen, and everybody out there who paid attention to this. I love you guys. Take care. Peace.